It is good to see each of you this morning. It's always a good opportunity for myself and Susan to come this way. We really enjoy coming up here and spending some time with you all. It's always a pleasure for us. And I was kind of hoping that maybe we could have brought a little one with us. We have Harper, who often spends the night on Saturday night with us. But her mama is teaching her class right now. So we didn't want to disrupt that, and because that's one of the reasons why I think she got involved in teaching Rebecca, that is so she could teach Harper from time to time. So don't want to take that away from her, but it's always good to be here. It's always good to be here. But I got a question for us this morning. At Westside, we have several different classes. We have our auditorium class, and we have our young people class, and we have a teen class. But we have a class that meets downstairs, and used to be called our young professionals class. But then I started showing up, so they took the young part off of it. And it's kind of opened it up to a few other members to come down there. But it's more of we kind of sit in a big circle, and a lot of times we bring up a probing question and kind of dive into it a little bit, and always using Scripture as our guide. But I think it's really helped us kind of get to know some of our members a little better, some that aren't always as willing to talk. But I kind of see this morning as being one of those kinds of groups. So I'm going to ask a question, and I just kind of want to hear some thoughts at first before we kind of dive into the subject. Who is wise among you? And don't go pointing fingers. He's wise, she's wise. But who is wise among you? I know we see that in Scripture, and we're going to be turning there in James chapter 3 in just a few minutes. But if you want to get a head start, that's fine. But who is wise among you? How do we determine wisdom? Where does wisdom originate? Where does it come from? Where do we gain wisdom? How do we gain wisdom? God's Word. Okay, well, a lot of people don't have God's Word, you know. And I say that they don't have it. They all have, everybody has access to it. I mean, I can pull it up on my phone, and I know literally just about every adult in this country probably has one of these, or at least access to something like that. So you can pull up the Bible on your phone at any time. But what if the Bible wasn't accessible to you? What if nobody talked to you about God and God's Word as you were growing up and maturing? Can you still have wisdom?
You can about everything, the older you get, you get a little wiser, hopefully.
Right, yeah.
But as far as Bible things, you have to hear it to get
wiser. True. 100% true. The only way that we're really going to grow in wisdom towards God is that we're going to have to spend time in His Word. Absolutely. Yeah.
Life experiences,
yeah. Right, right. I remember when I was younger, that thing that you're not supposed to touch on the lawnmower because you're going to burn yourself, the little carburetor. Yep, I touched it. Next thing I know, I had my hand in butter. And my mom calling me, well, not a very bright person. That wasn't very smart. No, it was not. But I did it. But I learned not to do it again because of it. So I grew in wisdom that day. And there are many life lessons that we learn and that we... sometimes we don't want to learn those, but we realize, okay, well, I shouldn't do that again. Or as we grow and as we mature, we realize that maybe we made some foolish mistakes when we were younger. But when we think about wisdom, we can't help but really focus on Scripture and what God has to say about it and how important it is for all of us to develop as much wisdom as we possibly can when it comes to learning more about His will for us. Now, when we think about wisdom, What's another term or a phrase that we can think about that we do see in Scripture that we can maybe apply it to, that we can connect it? And I thought of one, and I wrote it down this morning. As we were traveling up here, Susan drove, and I was just kind of sitting there flipping through, just kind of thinking about, you know, what class would look like, what the sermon would look like, and just kind of thought about some different things. And sometimes I think about something, like, oh, yeah, I got to write this down. So the word that came to my mind was discernment. Do we know what that means, discernment? Okay, choosing between right and wrong, good and bad. We often talk about that age of accountability for a young person, making them, you know, that age where they can decide what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. And that's when we say, okay, they're at an age now where they have some discernment and they can make a decision for themselves whether they want to obey the gospel or not. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. If you're already in James, it's just a few pages back. Hebrews chapter 4. And if we're truly going to grow in wisdom, then we really need to incorporate God's Word. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So when I read this verse, it tells me that the Word of God can help me discern between what is right and what is wrong because of the heart and our intent, right? And that the more I put in God's Word into my life, you know, "Thy Word have you hidden my heart, that I might not sin against you," Psalm 119:11, you know. "The Word is a lamp under our feet, a light under our path," Psalm 119:105. When we think about those verses and we think about putting that Word, we become wiser for it. Now, just putting the Word in ourselves, does that make us wise? Not completely, right? And we're using wisdom to dive in, to study. You know, think about study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, what? "Study to show yourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed," what? "Rightly dividing." That's discernment. We're dividing the word of truth. We're discerning it. Okay, so I've put God's Word in. I'm showing some wisdom by doing that. But how else do I show wisdom? By applying it, absolutely. If we don't apply God's Word, then we're not very wise. And would you say that there have been times where we or you have not applied God's Word the way you should have? Yeah, I think we could all raise our hand for that, right? We've all made mistakes, might even make some more before our time here on earth is over. But do we learn from them? Do we correct them? Do we pass that information on so others aren't making those same mistakes? Well, hopefully they do, and that's showing wisdom. Okay, let's look at James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Now, when we think about wisdom, who is the person in Scripture that we think of outside of Jesus? Solomon, right? Solomon, considered to be the wisest of all men. There is a great illustration or account in 1 Kings chapter 3 where it talks about the two ladies that come with a child. And I know that's probably a story that has come through Bible classes and sermons, if you've been in the church any time at all. And the two ladies coming there, and one lady substituted her dead child for that lady's child, and we know that Solomon said, "Just get me a sword, and I'll split the living child between the two of you, and you'll be on your merry way." And then the true mother, the one that truly cared for that child decided, nope, if you're going to do that, just give it to the other person. But then the other lady said, no, go ahead and split it up. I'm fine with that. So that just tells you, you know, when you use wisdom, and he knew what he was doing. He knew that the truth would come out. He knew that the right person would step forward when that situation happened. And it said, you know, that at the end of that, it said that, you know, God must be with this man. And how do we do that? How does God with us? Through his word, right? And more that we can put in there, we can discern it, we can use it, we're going to show ourselves wise. So let's read through verses 13 through 18. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. All right, so what we would like to do, or what I'd like to do this morning, is to look primarily in verse 17 at how we should be wise. Okay, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. When you see that, what comes to your mind when you're thinking about it needs to be pure? My wisdom needs to be pure. Okay, outside agents. When we think about sugar, now granted, sugar's not the healthiest thing in the world, but we often look at sugar as being pure. It's just that ingredient. That's all it is. It makes things sweet, right? But you look at ingredients in a lot of things that we purchase, and I found myself doing that a little bit yesterday in the store, and I noticed that I could buy this one, and yes, it was a little more expensive, or I could buy this one, it was cheaper, and I know it tastes good, because I've had it before, but then I got to looking, and there's like just, just a lot of different ingredients, and then over here it had five. I'm like, this one's probably a little healthier for me, at least that's what I was telling myself, than most of those I couldn't pronounce. I couldn't pronounce the words that were on there, so I decided to go with this route for her. I wasn't eating it. It was for her. But we were looking at them, and I said, look at this one. This has only got five ingredients. So it was a little bit more expensive, but, you know, I felt like that was probably the best way. I thought I was giving her a little bit more purity, I guess you would say. But you're right. Now, what does the Bible tell us when Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes? What does it talk about those that are pure of heart? Who will they see? They will see God, right? We have to create in ourselves purity. And if we're not searching for purity, if we're not living a pure life, now granted, we know that we bring impurities into our life all the time. We add those extra ingredients. And sometimes we do it out of convenience. Sometimes we do it because maybe we just get in a hurry. Maybe we are not making a good, wise decision about something. Maybe we're in haste. I think sometimes that happens to us all. Yesterday morning, I was sitting at the computer. I was kind of going through my Bible class a little bit, and here it was, 20 after 7. Well, I had an appointment to go take my truck in to get a tire fixed. It was flat. I knew I was going to have to pump that tire up before I could go. And I knew I had a portable tire compressor at the house. The problem is I didn't check to see if that thing worked before I went and hooked it up. And guess what? It didn't work. So I became frantic, moving very quickly I left my phone at the house when I ran to the store to see if I could buy a new little compressor. So I'm sitting there, I don't have my phone. And just thinking about that, had something happened, I would not have had any way of communicating to her or anyone else while I was on the road. So in my haste, I didn't make a wise decision. I should have just taken a deep breath because I didn't want to be late. If you know anything about me, Susan will be glad to tell you. But if you know anything about me, I do not like to be late for anything. I will show up really early just to avoid from being late. So I didn't even want to be late for this appointment. And I was at Walmart looking for my phone because it was already 7:45, and that's my appointment. And I was going to let them know, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. But it just didn't work out that way. I did eventually get the truck over there, and everything was fine. But using wisdom, sometimes we have to take a step back, don't we? And have to kind of address and think about the things that we're doing. We want to please God more than anything else, don't we? And in order for us to do that, we have to be pure in heart. And our decisions and our wisdom has to be pure. All right, the second thing, what is peaceable? What does that mean? Why does our wisdom have to be peaceable? Okay. Right, right. I mean, our heart's telling us, I want to tell this person, and it's the truth. I'm not telling them anything that's not the truth. But sometimes it's the way in which we tell it. And we want to keep the peace. And again, we don't really know. We think we know people, but we don't always know how people are going to react to certain things. And yes, it may be the truth, but a lot of times they say truth hurts, and it's because people don't react to it the way that we think they should react to it. We think, well, I would want somebody to tell me. Now, that's what we say, but sometimes when people tell us the truth, it hurts our feelings as well. And I think keeping that peace and not trying to be confrontational with others. And you can say it a different way, or maybe a more appropriate time. That's right. Yeah. It's embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we think about what the Bible tells us, the way we are to approach things. The Bible always tells us to do it in love. And it needs to be from that. And, you know, I may be able, we've all worked with people like this or dealt with people like this. There are people that they're very direct. They don't have a filter. They're just going to tell you what's on their mind no matter what. Those, hopefully, somebody pulls them aside, whispers in their ear, and say, hey, you know, you've got to do this with a little bit more kindness, a little bit more love. You don't want to be confrontational. You want to show some wisdom in your decision-making and thought processing. So, you know, but, and I've had to do that, you know, and maybe some of you have had to lead other people. And you'll be in a meeting or something, and all of a sudden, that person who you know, you've been sitting there the whole time, I hope they don't say anything, and then they do, right? And then when it happens, it's you've got to clean up the mess. And we, as Christians, we talk about letting our light shine. I personally feel like that's part of it. You know, you see people that are constantly putting themselves in positions that they don't... Well, I don't understand why people react that way. Well, here, let me give you a little example. But we don't want to do it in public. We want to do it with kindness. We want to do it in love. And we want to be able to show people that we do have the wisdom of God. You know, Romans 12:18 tells us that we are to live peaceably with all men, if possible, right? And we know that that's not going to be always 100% possible. But it's put, you know, Paul, when he wrote this, he's kind of putting this on the Christian's back. He's putting the ball in our court. We have to be the ones to kind of initiate it a lot of times. We have to be the ones that take the high road. That we have to be the ones, be the voice of reason a lot of times. And sometimes our emotions get in the way as well. But we have to be the ones that kind of do that the best way. Any thoughts or questions before we move on to our next thought? Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I've had to learn here. I had a lady not long ago going, you need to go talk to so-and-so. And I'm like, why? She sent me an email with all caps. I'm like... And then that's when I say, shouldn't you be talking to her about that? You know, if you're not getting anywhere with her, then you come to me. But let's try to get that taken care of first. So it kind of brings us gentle. We have to be gentle. It's funny how all these kind of things, they don't mirror each other completely, but they all are connected. And gentle. When you think about gentle, what do you think about? How are we to be? You know, considerate, maybe mild-mannered, fair, meek. You know, those are words that kind of come to my mind when we think about gentleness. We have to be gentle.
Yeah.
What? Right, yeah. They don't. You know, sometimes you don't see the sense of urgency in an email or text, or they definitely don't understand my inflection, you know, or what the point I'm trying to get across. I don't know about you, but I'm just looking to see how young the people are in here. But I have found that younger people, they'd much rather live with email and text. They don't want to pick up the phone. And we just did a nice little exercise at our work about, hey, we want you to make a conscious, consistent effort on picking up the phone. If someone calls you, don't email them back. Pick up the phone and call them back. And I can tell you, not everybody's been happy about that. But, you know, gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that is something, you know, we read in Galatians chapter 5. And, you know, we want to have that fruit of the Spirit within us as a Christian. And the way that we have wisdom, gentleness needs to be a part of it. You know, those with God's Spirit and wisdom will be gentle. And the only way to do that is, again, we're putting more of God's Word in our life, but we're also using God's Word through our life. So those are definitely important for us. All right. How about willing to yield? Ooh. I used to have a man come to me and he would say, God will just have to forgive me. I'm like, forgive you about what? Well, this guy does this, I'm going to do this to him. Well, That's not really yielding. It's not giving a mile or two or an inch, for that matter. And that's something that when we think about willing to yield, well, I'll tell you what, let's just turn it over to Matthew chapter 5. You know, Jesus, that Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, is full of great information that helps guide us through our life. And pick up in verse 38 with me, Matthew 5, if I can get there. Matthew 5:38. It says, "You have heard that if it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." How difficult is that for us to do? How hard is it for us to yield and kind of step back a little bit and just, you know, sometimes we have to take it on the chin, don't we? It's difficult. We don't like to be put in those situations, but many times that keeps the peace and shows our gentleness, but it also shows our wisdom too. And what can that do for the person that is kind of pushing on us a little bit, if you will? Yeah, that's what we would hope, right? Is that they would be able to kind of see that, you know, that attitude that you have and that wisdom that you're showing, based on, hey, you know, I don't want to make this any worse. Clearly, I have upset you in some way. What can I do to help us get through this or make this better? You know, I think sometimes that puts kind of a shock on people. It's like, well, I didn't really expect that response. I kind of thought you were going to come back at me just as hard as I came at you. And, you know, I think that can be something, should be something that as Christians we incorporate more of. But is it easy for us to become defensive? Yeah, isn't it? Is it that we don't like to be wrong, or is it we don't want to give somebody an opportunity what we would think to get a leg up on us? And I think maybe it's a little of both. But we show our wisdom when we're able to see, hey, how can I diffuse the situation? How can I make this better for the both of us? Because it's not good right now, especially if they're unhappy with me in some way. If I just go right back at them, do you think we're going to be able to find a solution to whatever's going on between us? No, absolutely not. No. Okay. So what we've done is we've looked at several so far. We've looked at being pure and peaceable and gentle, easily entreated, which is basically willing to yield, willing to you know, give somebody the opportunity, you know, to kind of come to you with, I guess I would consider that, we think about, at where I work, we talk a lot about servant leadership. And one of the pillars of servant leadership is, and it just escaped me, but is, you know, we're to show empathy, okay? We're to be active listeners. And if somebody's coming at me and I know it's hurting me and I just want to come right back at them, the best thing for me to do is to empathize with where they're at, why did they feel like it was necessary to come to me like that? And the other part of it is that, hey, I've got to be listening. You know, 'cause maybe it's something I'm doing that needs correction instead of just all of a sudden, you know, jumping in right back. Now, I think I'm much better at it at work than I am at home. So, I know I still have a lot of work to do with that as well. All right, so here we are, full of mercy. What does that mean? What does mercy even mean? Again, a lot of these words, they're synonymous with one another. I think we're building on to something, realizing that what it is to truly be wise, we got to be merciful. And we also know that mercy is another beatitude, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy, right? And mercy, for me, the way I best understand it, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is not receiving what I deserve. Yeah. Well, I think when we look at unmerited favor, that's often attributed to grace. And yes, and I think unmerited favor is a good definition. But I look at it as a different way, where I'm not receiving what I do, what I don't deserve. Oh, wait a minute, hold on, let me stop here just a second. I'm getting too many thoughts in my head. Not receiving what I do deserve. Grace is receiving what I don't deserve. I don't deserve Christ going to the cross. I deserve to be punished for my sins, but God's showing me mercy. And he's showing me grace by putting his son on the cross. So, in thinking of it in that sense, you know, we have to be merciful to people. And we have to show mercy. And give them things that they don't deserve. You know, you come at me and you're just giving me down the road. And do you deserve for me to be respectful at that point? Do you deserve for me to sit there and take it, so to speak? But that's showing wisdom. That's allowing Christ to live through us. So, thinking about that, we all have to be full of mercy, right? Mercy is something we... It's easy for us, okay, I'm going to show him some grace and I'm going to show him some mercy. Do we think about what was done for us? And truly, how can we connect with people and how can we bring people to Christ if we're combative, if we're confrontational, if we're difficult to work with? If we're not showing any of these aspects of being wise, it's going to be very difficult for us, right? We're not going to be able to reach the lost because they're going to say, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's go to good fruits. I know I've got to pick up the pace a little bit. Good fruits. We know that Jesus taught that people will be seen by their fruits, right? You'll be able to know and distinguish false prophets, he says, by their fruits. He also says, if you're not bearing fruit, what? If the tree's not bearing fruit, what? Just cut it down. Just cut it down. So we need good fruits. But you think about fruits, it's not just fruits. It says good fruits. And what other fruit would heaven produce, right, other than good fruits? And that's something that we should all kind of take in consideration. The last two, I definitely want to spend a couple of minutes, the last couple of minutes that we have, is without partiality. And, you know, we know that God's not a respecter of persons. James talks about it quite extensively earlier in his writing in what we call chapter 2. Talking about the goodly man who's dressed in, or the man dressed in goodly apparel, and they bring him to the front seat, and the man who's not dressed in that, and he's dressed in rags and stuff, they put him on a bucket in the back, and basically showing that partiality. But is that fairness by doing that? No, it's not. But is it just to do that? And what's the difference between just and fairness? And maybe that's just too much time for us to take because I think that's a lot to unpack. between being someone who's being just, and I feel like just or justice comes from God, and fairness is what we try to do. You know, God's not trying to be fair, he's trying to be just. Well, we're trying to be fair with people. You know, well, if so-and-so gets it, well, then this person ought to get it. Well, that's fair in our mind, but is it just? Is it the right thing to do? But we have to make sure that we're doing those things without partiality, that we're picking one because of favoritism. We want to do that. And I think when we think about without partiality, then we're making wise decisions that, hey, just because you know, I like you doesn't mean that you should be the one receiving all these extra benefits, or you should be the one who is... We've got to make sure that we do it with a sense of justice and fairness when we're making those decisions. That's being wise. It's being wise. And the final thing that he talks about is without hypocrisy. What does that mean? Huh? Okay. If I present myself to be wise and try to make all the right decisions, can I keep that hidden? Is my hypocrisy going to eventually catch me? And you're going to see me in a different light, maybe. Maybe like, he tells me one thing, but he does something else. It's hard to gain people that way too, isn't it? Well, he puts himself out there as being someone who's very wise and is going to make these, you know, godly decisions in his life. But then I see him doing this. It's not very wise. It's important for us to make sure that we're walking that road without finding ourselves taking detours, without ourselves finding, you know, ourselves falling off of it. Is thoughts. One is hypocrisy just another way of lying? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Right. Yeah. Exactly. I remember when I was a kid, and maybe you've seen this commercial too, it's where the dad busts into his son's room, and his son's got his little earphones on, and dad's holding a little bag of drugs or something. He goes, "Where did you learn to do this? Where did you learn to do this?" And the son goes, "From you, Dad." But, you know, the dad's coming in there saying, "You shouldn't be doing drugs." But the son, you know, he saw his dad doing the drugs. And if it's okay for dad, why isn't it okay for me? And that's hypocrisy, right? We're saying not to do it, but then we go and we do it. So it would be, when we think about if we've got any kind of hypocrisy in our life, it would be wise for us to do what? Repent and turn to God, right? So those are the kinds of things that we think about wisdom. You know, James is... They often call it the Proverbs of the New Testament because it has a lot of good information that helps us in our life. You know, chapter 5 talks about prayer. Chapter 3 is wisdom. Chapter 2 is partiality or no respecter of persons. Chapter 1 tells us what pure religion is all about and how we are to count it joy when we fall into trials and tests in life. So when we think about what James has written for us here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see that, you know, these are things that, you know, when we think of wanting to truly be wise, and truly serve God in the way that we should, we've got to have all these attributes as part of our walk with Him. Any questions or comments as we... I think we're about on time, I guess. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.